Hello, seafood friends. You're listening to Catch the Current, the coolest seafood podcast out there from the team at Undercurrent, bringing you everything from the boats to the boardrooms, breaking down the news, spilling a little industry fish oil, and sharing the sharp market insights you need to know. I'm Amanda Buckle.
And I'm Lauren Castiglione. And we may have to sound the alarms again, Amanda.
Oh, no.
So on Monday, June 15th, the U.S. Supreme Court declined to hear a case challenging President Donald Trump's Section 301 tariffs that were imposed in 2018 on China, giving him firmer legal grounding in his campaign to use the same mechanism to widen his global trade war. HMTX Industries versus United States challenged the Trump administration's ability to expand tariffs on $50 billion worth of China goods imposed using Section 301 of the Trade Act of 1974 by augmenting them with Section 307 modifications that widened the tariffs to touch $320 billion in imports. The immediate impact of the decision is that it leaves in place tariffs on China that the plaintiffs claimed are costing American consumers nearly $75 billion a year.
More broadly, by declining to hear the case, the Supreme Court locks in rulings by the U.S. Court of International Trade and the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Federal Circuit that Trump was justified in his actions. The decision empowers Trump to freely use Section 301 and 307 in tandem to impose and expand tariffs, unshackling him from a critical legal concern as he pushes to expand the use of Section 301 tariffs drastically. If you'll recall, Trump announced earlier this month on June 3rd, a proposal to target as many as 60 countries with Section 301 tariffs, as high as 12.5%, alleging they have not done enough to block imports made using forced labor. Those tariffs will result in an estimated $2.9 billion in annual tariffs on seafood imported into the U.S.
The Trump administration is simultaneously running a second ongoing Section 301 investigation into alleged unfair trade practices that will likely result in additional tariffs on 16 countries, including several major seafood producing nations. Proposed rates for those tariffs have not yet been announced by the Office of the U.S. Trade Representative, so stay tuned to Undercurrent. We'll have that information on the site when it's released.
Moving along. The seafood industry is feeling the ripple effects after the European Commission proposed a complete ban on Russian cod and other species, as well as substantial restrictions on other seafood in its latest set of sanctions announced last week. Now, whitefish avoided previous waves of sanctions, but as one source told Undercurrent, it was expected to happen eventually. Now, Russian seafood industry groups have downplayed the potential impact of the proposed new EU restrictions, arguing the measures would hurt European processors and consumers as much as Russian exporters. Now, joining us this week to talk more about the impact of these sanctions and what it could mean for other whitefish is UCN Deputy EMEA Editor Dan Gibson.
Hello, Amanda. Good to be here as always. So this was a bombshell. It was one of these things that had been in the pipeline for a while, thinking this could happen. I mean, the EU has held off on including whitefish in previous sanctions. As you said, back in 2024, it removed Russia from the autonomous tariff quota policy that allowed importers to bring in pollock or cod tariff-free. So ever since then, it's been coming in at a 12% rate. And then last year, of course, Narebo and Murmansk Seafood, two of the largest seafood companies in Russia, both of them were sanctioned for alleged industrial espionage in the North Sea. So again, that took about 45% of the volume coming from Russia, took that off the market as well. But, you know, when you look against the backdrop, it seemed like it was only a matter of time before this trade flow was affected. I mean, before the war, the EU was importing about $1 billion worth of seafood from Russia. Since then, I mean, I checked the stats just before coming on here. It was about $800 million last year. So it has dropped off, but, you know, not substantially, I guess. And when you really break it down and look at the numbers, most of that is just two species. It's Alaska pollock and it's cod. And the announcement last week was quite sparse on details. Cod was shouted out by name, but pollock was not mentioned, which again has, I mean, that's the first big question is, pollock is the bigger trade flow. Is that going to be affected down the line? Who knows? There were significant restrictions on other species. And when you look at it, it's hard to imagine what other species there can be, if not Alaska pollock. And then, of course, the other question that everyone has ever since this came out is, will third country processing be included? Because, of course, a large volume of Russian cod is sent to China, where it's then filleted and then sold to the EU as a Chinese product, as a product of China. So again, it begs the question, is that backdoor still going to exist, or is the EU closing it? And sources we spoke to last week, they think the EU, obviously, they're very well aware of the volumes that come through China. They would not impose something like this if they knew all of that volume would just be rerouted via China. So it's likely that will also be included. But again, we're talking likely, probably, possibly. As a result of that, we've been talking with people over the last couple of days to see what's that done to prices of Russian cod. And so far, not a whole lot, which is surprising. But again, it's a case of everyone's holding their breath to see how is this going to be implemented. We also sent last week a document, an internal document from Seafood Europe, which is the processing body for all European EU processors. And they believe it's going to be a gradual phasing out on and ban on Russian cod. They believe we're talking, looking at a period of over a couple of years. So maybe the next year it will be halved the volumes allowed in, and then down to just 10,000 tons the year after that. And I think the idea is they're just trying to remove Russian cod from the system in a way that doesn't immediately cause prices of all other whitefish to just go through the roof.
It sounds like this is something that they've been thinking about, but at the same time, aren't willing to release this information.
Yeah, it's classic EU behavior, really. Yeah, we came across this release, the proposal that Ursula von der Leyen had made, with very little fanfare, I have to say, around it. And ever since then, everybody has been asking the same questions, and the people we speak to are going like, "Do you know any more than we do about this?" So, yeah, it really is a case of wait and see, I think, at the moment.
Thanks, Dan. Get an Undercurrent Pro subscription so you don't miss a single update on that front. Moving back to what's going on in the US, let's talk about what's happening at the seafood counter because consumers are definitely feeling the squeeze right now.
You can say that again. So the latest report from 210 Analytics, a market research and marketing strategy firm specializing in the food retail industry, was released this week, revealing that grocery shoppers are becoming much more selective about what goes into their carts. Consumer confidence remains low, personal savings rates are down, and people are paying closer attention to every dollar they spend. According to Anne-Marie Roehring, president of 210 Analytics, data shows that consumers purchased fewer pounds of seafood in May, even as total dollar sales remain relatively steady or even increased in some categories.
To put it simply, people are paying more but taking home less. But there are some clear winners and losers too. Salmon continue to be a standout performer, whether it's fresh or frozen. Consumers still seem willing to keep buying salmon despite the higher prices. Shrimp, on the other hand, had a tougher month. Fresh shrimp sales slipped, and frozen shrimp prices have climbed to the point where they're getting surprisingly close to fresh prices. Fresh shrimp averaged $9.44 per pound in May, compared with frozen shrimp at $9.15 per pound. That's creating some interesting dynamics at retail. Cod is another species facing pressure. Fresh prices have jumped significantly, up 14.2% to $11.83 per pound, and consumers appear to be pulling back as a result.
On the frozen side, though, pollock had a pretty solid month. It's benefiting from its value positioning at a time when shoppers are looking for more affordable seafood options. But I was drawn again to the shelf-stable aisle. Canned tuna is still the category leader, but the growth just isn't there. One of the biggest bright spots in the category, though, continues to be sardines, which just keeps gaining popularity with consumers. So the big takeaway, consumers still want seafood, but they're becoming increasingly price conscious. Species that can deliver value are holding up best, while products facing steep price increases are seeing shoppers back away. But it also, this reminds me of something else, not necessarily seafood related. But again, Lauren, I trust you to hop on this train with me and come along for the ride, and we'll get there.
Let's go, girl.
So, Aldi, our favorite, discount retailer, is doing blind boxes.
Okay. Across all different, they sell, from food to lawn garden gnomes to,
They
is
do
it
have a little
across
bit of
everything?
everything. Yes. So they have a couple of different options. I don't know how, I'm seeing seafood maybe fit in on the shelf stable side, but they have like a
Right.
snack blind box. So I feel like it's a craveable mix designed for grazing, perfect for mixing
Oh,
and
there's different
matching.
categories.
Yes. So it's just because everyone deserves a little treat. So can't you see, I can see like sardines fitting into this cool
Yes,
blind
yes.
box. There's a fiber blind box, a protein blind box. So again, protein, we can throw in some seafood there, and then a mystery blind box, and then it says it's expect a surprising mix of products from across the store. that are about to become your new foodie obsessions. I love a good blind box.
I know you've purchased them before, right?
I've bought
Halloween one, right?
not from Aldi. Oh my gosh, I think I got like six blind boxes from Michael's one time. Oh my gosh, I'm like a Halloween freak. But I'm curious about this. I feel again, like talking about people saving money, but there is something about like people just like the extra surprise of getting it. And I've seen these things
Yeah.
blow up. And I think this is kind of cool if seafood can get in there because.
Maybe we can grab some and do it a little unboxing for next episode.
But I would be so upset if there's no seafood in there. Aldi, if you're listening, I hope you just sneak in some of your shelf stable
Yes.
goods. I don't envision this working for, for the refrigerated and frozen
Right,
goods.
right.
But I think that'd just be cool because maybe somebody's like, you know what? I'm not necessarily gonna buy sardines, but you know what? It's in this blind box. Let me try it. I think that's, again, I
All
think
right,
everyone's buying
my interest
sardines,
has
but
piqued.
I thought that was really cool. So I love a good surprise.
Now, on to some seafood and sports. Crab was front and center the other week at the Super Bowl ring ceremony for the Seattle Seahawks on June 11th. 4 months after the Seattle Seahawks defeated the New England Patriots, the team celebrated their championship win with a private exclusive ceremony. Well, of course, photos from the event surfaced, and it turns out that Edmonds, Washington-based crab processor and supplier Keyport supplied the crab for the ring ceremony. You've got to see these photos of the crab surrounding an ice sculpture. It is pretty epic. And honestly, the only way I'd want to celebrate a win like that.
Oh, 100%. Seafood is the only way to celebrate. In fact, the New York Knicks even celebrated their historic NBA championship win with seafood. The team had a private party at a members-only culinary-focused social club on the Lower East Side after their big win on Saturday the 13th. There was a raw bar, sushi, even a private caviar station.
Oh, fancy. But I'd expect no less.
Too true. Meanwhile, the Norwegian Seafood Council is looking to lean into the soccer fandom amid the World Cup, launching a national consumer marketing campaign in the US markets this summer to increase awareness of seafood from Norway. The national campaign builds on NSC's ongoing partnership with Erling Haaland, one of the world's biggest soccer stars, and highlights the role seafood from Norway plays in performance-focused nutrition. Digital campaign creative featuring Holland will run across the US with large-scale campaign placements appearing in New York City's Times Square on June 22nd.
And I've got to think the Norwegian Seafood Council must be thrilled with their marketing campaign because Team Norway and Haaland are off to a great start. Erling Haaland scored twice on his World Cup debut on Tuesday, June 16th, helping Norway beat Iraq 4-1. Norway's next game is Tuesday, June 23rd. And we'll have more on the Norwegian Seafood Council's campaign with the soccer star in a future episode of Catch the Current. So subscribe now so you don't miss it.
Before we go, I have one more thing to talk about, microwaving fish. Lauren, are you for or against microwaving fish?
Personally, myself, I'm against it, but I love to watch the drama unfold in an office setting.
Oh, do you remember that? Do you remember that
I
one time?
remember.
All right, so listen to this. A police officer in South Carolina was arrested after allegedly pointing his department-issued firearm at a fellow officer because the other officer had microwaved fish in the station break room.
Wow, that's the strongest anti-microwave fish stance I've ever heard.
We've got a picture of the arrest warrant in the show notes, so if you're looking for a good chuckle or want to print one out to distribute to your own office microwave violator, please do so.
And we do not condone violence, though, so just to make that clear.
No, absolutely not. But a fake public citation will do just fine. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you back here next week.
Bye-bye.